and the beat goes on. Yeah.
Hajad's LA. Welcome. So the first episode, what was it, off-kilter look at all things football from NFL, college, high school, Canadian League, arena, any of it. Myself, I'm the coach. This is the Lurk.
Hello, hello.
Someone's myself been in the game for, 25 years now almost. Played it, coached at all levels, Division I, 1AA, 2, 3, bad high school, good high school, all that shit. Right now, coaching in the LA area, high school coach from Massachusetts, but enough of my biography. You don't need to know enough about that. Let's fucking get into this shit. You know, what's going to happen here on this show is every Sunday night at this time, going to come in, talk about the pent-up frustrations of watching a weekend of NFL, college football, and coaching my own games, and just freaking do two things I'm good at is drinking beer and talking about football at all levels. So here from downtown L.A. in Skid Row Studios, literally downtown L.A. I don't know if you've ever been here, but shopping up your crossbows and get your holy water out because it's a fucking zombie land down
it's
here.
It's not that bad. It's really clean.
Please.
Oh, come on. Please. If you've come down here a couple years ago, it's really cleaned itself up. Oh, it's,
I wish.
Hey, everything about America is about improvement. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about NFL players that some of them have been great, but some of them have been degenerates or have been shameful.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. It's Hall of Fame weekend. It's the kickoff weekend of NFL. Football is here.
It is.
High school football has started.
Ding dong.
All the camps of double sessions. I'm in it right now myself, full tilt, watching all this shit, watching the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
What'd you think of the speeches overall?
Yeah, you know, Parcells is Parcells. I thought he did what I thought he was going to do. Larry Allen, tremendous story. Interesting fella. Jonathan Ogden, I thought that he was great. Dave Robinson, class act, Penn State. Worked there myself.
All right, let me stop you right there. I mean, you could go through all seven and say they're all class acts because they're all class acts going to the NFL.
No, they're not.
I guess Lawrence Taylor. Again, we're going to talk about the Hall of Shame. Lawrence Taylor will probably be in that that hall himself. Even Bill Parcells mentioned that he's happy to get his bus in the Hall of Fame so he can always keep an eye on Lawrence Taylor. And
Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players of all time and also one of the biggest degenerates to ever walk around, you know. Great player. Don't get me wrong. Anything I say about these guys, look, I'm sure they're good guys to hang out with. But
the reason we're talking about is they're great.
But
they have something that they could offer that we couldn't.
Great physically, shit, you know.
Yeah,
They won the genetic lottery, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
You know, like Warren Sapp talking about, I can do all things through Christ right off the bat. Why can't you pay a child support through Christ? The guy owes $7 million to creditors and back child support, you know? He had his daughter, look, again, you know, I'm sure Warren Sapp's a nice guy and he can beat me up if he's listening to this, which he ain't, but he owes $7 million in back child support, and he had a freaking Mercedes named after a German vehicle come in. The guy makes $115,000 a month still. $100,000 a month still, and he has, what was I reading on Wikipedia, the godsend? He has like $10,000 worth of Jordan sneakers, and the guy can't pay his freaking alimony, and he's talking about all things. He can do all things through Christ if he's 6'2", 300 pounds, and has tremendous lightning quick speed. But regardless, I ain't going to sit here and talk about Warren Sapp.
It reminds me of a bumper sticker that my good friend of mine saw the other day. He said that as long as you do your best, God will take care of everything else.
Yeah.
And like you talked about before, walking through downtown LA, we see a lot of people that are a little down on their luck. And we don't need to get religious right
now.
So anyways, let's go back into our topic.
I mean, you say that, but you know, you got 4,000 kids die a day from having lack of access to clean water.
Exactly.
I digress. Chris Carter, I thought was great at the end. Four things you should know about Chris Carter. Buckeye, born and bred. HOF forever until I'm dead. That's like two things, and I don't even know that's four things, but he's still great. He's talking about how I learned early on from Reggie White that all things are possible through God, I guess. But Reggie White was a huge anti-gay guy. Did you know that? Reggie White had public service announcements on how gay people were making a choice.
Well, most people that lead the gay religious battle are closet homosexuals themselves. I mean, that's usually a lot of those camps.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that closet homosexuals. I just believe they have a different belief system and that they've been trained to think that homosexuality is, you know, a disease, but whatever. Well, I don't want to get into homosexuality. Yeah, it's the first couple minutes of this freaking podcast. I do know this. I do know this. Tim Brown should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you 100% on that one.
Right next to Chris Carter. Right next to Chris Carter. He only has like 7 less receptions, and he has over 1,000 yards more. And the guy was one of the greatest punt returners in the history of the game. Tremendous college football player. I know it doesn't count for the Hall of Fame, but
Heisman.
Heisman winner, yeah.
Joke. Notre Dame.
The joke. The whole fucking Hall of Fame is a joke. This is why...
it's not a joke. It's not a joke. But at the same time, it gets used and abused here and there. But you got to admit, everyone that's in the Hall of Fame deserves that recognition.
No doubt. I think there should be more...
Honestly, like, we have already brought him up. Lawrence Taylor is a guy that I think is a complete degenerate that, like, honestly, like... Right now, A-Rod is getting exercised.
I'm not talking about baseball.
I understand that. But he is getting exercised from baseball, and I think Lawrence Taylor deserved that during his...
All these guys do, and that's why Focus...
But a lot of people don't know.
Focus number one, first show, Hall of Fame weekend. We're going to go into what's called the Hall of Shame. Real clever, huh? Lime and shame with fame.
Genius.
Yeah, you know, I do what I can. So let's jump right into it. You know, forget the Hall of Fame, although...
All right, let's go number one position, quarterback.
Quarterback.
What do you got?
Quarterback is the premier position. And right off the bat in the offensive quarterback Hall of Fame is probably, I have no reservation saying this, the most talented quarterback I've ever seen, Michael Vick. Michael Vick is the quarterback. He's got a couple backups. We'll get into that later. Let's go through the resume. 2004, two guys were caught selling weed in a truck registered to his name. 2005, there was a charge brought up against him in the famous Rom Mexico case. You familiar with that?
No, I'm not. Or I might have blanked it out. Really? Can you recap it a little bit?
In 2002, he gave a woman herpes. And I'm glad you think
purposely.
Well, he knew.
I mean, she must have asked for it some way, somehow, somewhere.
Well.
Oh, especially somewhere. Yeah, somehow.
Know, multi-millionaire, good looking fella. But he went under the name of Rom Mexico to get treatment for a number of years. That's why the NFL banned the Mexico jersey, the number 7 Atlanta jersey. It's in Mexico.
Oh, I did not know that. No. I did not know that. No.
Yeah. 2006, double flipped off Saints fans. I had nothing wrong with that. A few years back, I was at a Celtic game, and the kiss cam came on me and my buddy, and I said enough is enough, and I threw a couple fingers up there. was promptly escorted out, but whatever. Finger's a finger, you know what I mean? 2007.
Hey, I went to a Raiders game in the black hole, and there was more than a finger getting flipped in that place.
Yeah, right. What does a finger mean, you know? 2007. Water bottle, hidden compartment, smelled of weed. I don't know. There's an empty baggie in there. They didn't really get anything.
But nonetheless, the dogfighting. The dogfighting is the big part, like where Michael Vick is the complete degenerate. He's the shameful asshole of
way
of
to
that.
Steal my thunder, Lurk. But yeah.
Well, plus, hey, we got to get to the point. I mean, we got a lot of positions to cover
here. We know how much time. Bad news kennels. Bad news with a Z, kid. Bad news with a Z. He financed it. And personally, he admitted to killing 6 to 8 dogs himself.
Ooh.
He hung them. He drowned them. What the fuck, kid? What kind of freaking degenerate does that? The guy has all the money in the world, and he hangs dogs, and why can't you just put a...
Coach, let me ask you this. Did you ever own a dog in your day?
Never owned a dog in my life.
Have you had a friend that you spent a lot of time with a dog?
All right.
So have you ever seen that friend treat the dog in any manner in that way whatsoever?
Drown or kill? Never.
Okay.
Never. Right, so. Never. And look, I'm not condoning dog fighting.
I'm not saying it either. I'm not
condoning dog fighting.
Again, yeah.
But, you know, I can understand it in some guy in some third world country putting together some kind of life, trying to freak, you know, put together some kind of dog show. But this guy had it all. What the fuck is he doing? Killing dogs, hanging them, drowning dogs. Ridiculous. It's amazing. So, Mike served 23 months in jail. Okay? And then he comes out, and now he's lobbying for having these crimes. Like, if you go to a dog fight now, it's a felony to watch a dog fight because Michael Vick is now pushing. Michael Vick is now holier than now. And now we're going to see him this fall. And I guarantee you, if he starts under the Chip Kelly system, he's going to tear it up. Guy's too talented, man. The guy's too freaking talented.
But he's old, man.
Bullshit.
He's old.
He's as fast as
he's beat up.
You saw he beat
him. He's beat up.
You saw in the preseason he beat LeSean McCoy in a race?
Preseason. He's a freak.
Only thing is, he's little. He's like 5'11", 180, and he's going to get hurt if they run him too much.
Here, the only thing little in 5'10", 180 that's ever any good that begins with the name Pre is Prefontaine.
Well, how about this? I didn't realize this until I was looking this up. Nike re-signed Michael Vick as an athlete in 2011.
Because they dropped Tiger Woods. They had money to spend. Once they dropped Woods.
They're gonna drop Tiger for, well, don't get me started on Tiger. This is not a golf show. But
we'll get to that later. Episode 6.
They re-signed him and nobody said shit. You know, hating and drowning dogs. Come on, man. All right, let's go to the next one, and let's go back.
But, hey, you got no. I mean, you're just gonna give him the vote, top number one.
Oh, he's my starting quarterback. Yeah, in this team.
Who's his backup? Well, we gotta have a backup.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to backup.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Going to backups. I have two. I'll do them real quick.
Sorry, coach.
I don't know if you know Art Schliester. He's not a well-known name.
I recognize him from Ohio State, but could you give me a little background other than that?
I'll do it quickly.
Thank you,
Woody Hayes. Sold his soul to get this guy, and he started him as a freshman, which he never done, because he was like the man in Ohio.
Now, who is Woody Hayes? Well, I know who Woody Hayes is, but in case some of our listeners don't.
Well, I shouldn't be listening to this show. He's a longtime coach at Ohio State.
Wow, way to negate your audience right there.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
He was a head coach of Ohio State for about 25, 30 years.
All right.
Real quick, at his last game, he punched an opposing player on the sideline. Matter of fact, Schliester threw that interception, which led Woody Hayes to... They say, you know, Woody was a diabetic, and he was off kilter at the end, and he just didn't know what was going on. Supposedly, he was just a mess at that point. Would refuse to take his medication, and he punched an opposing player who picked off a screen pass or a little swing pass, and he punched him. That was it.
Side story here: when I played high school football, one of the most disrespectful and just awe-inspiring moments of my life was we were playing our opening football game against the team that knocked us out of the state playoffs the year before. And our head football coach punched a parent of two players that were on the field on the sideline during the game. And again, this is not a football coach that I respect whatsoever.
As a high school football,
when it goes down to the, if we're talking about the all degenerate team, since we were kind of talking about that kind of thing, I'd like to give him a nomination for the all degenerate coach or the Hall of Shame coach of the year. But we'll get to that guy later.
A high school coach in North Dakota doesn't quite make the list. Sorry, guy.
Dakota Territory is like we refer to it.
Schliester picked fourth overall in 1982. There was a strike. By the end of the strike, they said he had lost all of his signing bonus of $700,000 in gambling debts. By the end of the strike, what happened is he turned state's evidence against his bookies. Suspended in 83, came back for 1984. It was released in 1985 for gambling again. What he started 13 games, or he played 13 games, started six games, and lost all six games of starting QB, the QB rating of 42.6. In 1990, this is what happens when these talented guys go and play in lesser leagues. He came back and he played for the Detroit Drive in the Arena League. It was the MVP. The MVP of the Arena League in 1990. Through his career, he committed over 20 felonies and stole and conned money from friends.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so do you like, what esteem do you hold the Arena League in? Since we're going to talk about these stats here and stuff.
I mean, those dudes are still professionals. Those guys that can fucking play, they're still...
So you're going to mock North Dakota high school football, but you're going to promote the Arena League?
Yeah.
I'm just questioning here. I just want to see where we're at.
Oh, yeah. I think the players who play in the Arena League could start...
We're not talking about Arena Midwest or you know.
Do you want to go back to the intro
and realize that we're
playing in high school?
Let's go back to Artie. Let's talk more about Artie.
But no, right. the no, but... to answer your question, Armenia has a lot of talent and players.
I agree.
Same thing with Canada. Those guys can play, man. Those guys can play.
It's just whether they have the intelligence or the will.
Let's talk about Ashlista. Public defender smuggled in a cell phone in like 1991, which, you know, nobody had cell phones. If you had a cell phone, it was the size of your sneaker. And he had...
Imagine thinking that one in the prison.
He burned it in, and so I can place bets. 2009, him and his mom went out and had a public service announcement against Ohio casinos. And then in 2011, he was sentenced again for 10 years for another scam he had. And then he got busted for coke. He's 53 years old, and he's serving a 15-year prison.
What's he serving it for? Just drugs?
No, for breaking violation for drug. Well, he's number four for multiple violations on his probation from
gambling. 15 years is a lot of time. And again, like we hear like Lindsay Lohan and all these people that are getting nailed with cocaine and da-da-da-da-da, and all they get is probation.
I know.
Why is a guy spending 15 years in jail? I mean, again, drugs is a big deal, dude, and I don't promote it whatsoever.
Whoa, time out. Stop the clock. The guy stole over $2 million from friends and family.
All right. Again, that's why I asked. I go, wow, 15 years is a lot of time.
The guy stole $2 million from friends and family.
Okay, all right.
And then he got busted for coke. Poor Art can never get his act together.
Poor Art. Man, you got a lot of sympathy for this Ohio State guy.
Rest in peace.
I thought you were...
Rest in peace, Woody Hayes. Let's go. Running back. Of course, the gold standard. Orenthal James Simpson, O.J. Simpson. Do we really need to go into that? Do we really need to go into what O.J. was doing? June 12th, 1994, found not guilty. No, excuse me. June 12th, 1994, he made the run. Found not guilty in 1995, but in 1997, he's found guilty in civil court, which I don't even get how civil court and how somebody can be found not guilty in one court and then found guilty. This is, oh, you're not guilty, but you're really guilty. So he ended up owing $33 million to the Goldman family. Never paid it, obviously. And he had an auction he could pay back about $500,000 of his $33.5 million in damages. So he ended up writing a book. I don't know if you knew that he ended up writing a book called If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer, with the Goldman family ended up owning the rights to it. And they put the F in If I Did It to make it look like I Did It, Confessions of a Killer. And he didn't get any money out of that. The Goldman family ended up getting all the money out of that. And then, of course, what happened to OJ, he ended up trying to rob somebody who was supposedly trying to sell some of his stolen merchandise and ended up holding him up at gunpoint. And enough of OJ. You understand.
So now we're at running back?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, welcome back. Now,
sorry, I got a little.
Of course, the gold standard OJ Simpson. You know,
Coach Sir got a little sidetracked right there.
Let's bring it back to LA.
All right.
Let's bring it back to LA for our second running back, Lawrence Phillips, West Covina High School.
Well,
do you know that? Transferred.
Honestly, I did not know that.
For two years, then transferred to Baldwin Park High School. At Baldwin Park, he won back-to-back CIF championships. One, arrested for assaulting a girlfriend. Two, arrested for assaulting another girlfriend. Suspended but not cut.
I see a pattern developing.
Suspended
here.
For not cut from the great Tom Osborne, the Senator Tom Osborne, decided he would be better. Which is a point I agree with. He decided it wasn't... You cut ties with these guys, and what the fuck did they have? You know what I mean? You get rid of Lawrence Phillips, and what do you have? What does Lawrence Phillips have? He's going to go out on the street, and he's going to get in trouble, which he did anyway.
Yeah, many times over.
St. Louis Rams traded Jerome Bettis to get Lawrence Phillips. Jonathan Ogden talked about...
I'll be honest with you. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Jonathan Ogden talked about it last night because it was supposedly a done deal that the Ravens first pick in their franchise was going to take Lawrence Phillips. But the last minute they took Ogden, who was enshrined in the NFL last night. And last night Lawrence Phillips was enshrined in California penal.
I could only imagine how many ex-GMs and presidents, CEOs, owners of NFL teams were watching the watch Hall of Fame ceremonies all over and like, God dang it. If I would have just drafted that guy, if I would have did that, it's like, oh my goodness, I would have had a job right now.
If
I would
wishes
have
something. And butts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day.
Yeah. I'm going to get into like one of my favorite icons of the NFL is Al Davis, and where he got to be his iconic status was drafting those guys that a lot of people passed on through those avenues. He was always like, give me your Hall of Shame. I will take your Hall of Shame. I will make them greater. And
Too soon for the Al Davis talk, because I can go on and on about Al Davis. I have nothing but the utmost respect for Al Davis.
And again, he failed at his job too. Again, he was successful, but he failed.
Bullshit. He was tremendous. But let's
He failed. I'm a Raiders fan, and I will admit he failed fucking big time.
Dick Vermeil called Lawrence Phillips the best running back he had ever been around. And then he cried about it like he always did.
You gotta love Dick. Like, honestly, Dick is the most manliest crier you could ever. You gotta love Dick for crying, because that's what he did.
I don't gotta do shit. All right. They cut him. They cut him for the Rams. Brought him to the Dolphins. Assaulted another girl. Was suspended for 2 games. So then, here's a testament to the guy's talent. They bring him over to NFL Europe. He set the records for the most yardage in NFL Europe. It was the best running back in the history of NFL Europe. Because the guy was supremely talented. Brought him back to San Fran. Missed the block that's concussed Steve Young. Corner blitz. Missed the block. Steve Young gets freaking hit in the jaw again for like the 6th time. Over. Steve Young knocked out, never played again in the NFL.
That was Mariucci's tenure, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And just the yin and the yang of things. Missed that block that Steve Young got concussed on and was never the same. At the end of the game, Lawrence Phillips ripped off a 68-yard touchdown run to win the game. But they cut him right after because he didn't show up and all that. Went to the CFL. Led the team to the Grey Cup Finals. Rushed for over 1,000 yards in the CFL. And if you know anything about the CFL, they throw the ball all the time. We don't have 3 downs. But he broke a record for the most rushing yards in the CFL.
But at the same time, if I know anything about the San Francisco 49ers, if the one thing they have been without for, I'd say, at least a decade, has been a running back.
What is wrong with you? Gore
is the running back that everyone would love to have on their team. Again, I'm a Raiders fan. I want Oakland to be successful. We got Darren McFadden. But I would take Gore over Darren McFadden any day, any Sunday, any Monday of the week.
I guess I missed your point. I thought you said they missed out on running backs for the last few years.
Again, Garrison, Hurst, and Gore for 10 years, man. I would take that.
I thought you said they missed. I'm sorry. All right. Fair enough. Oh, yeah. Frank Gore and Garrison Hurst are both studs. No doubt.
Again, if you got Lauren.
Let's finish Lawrence Phillips.
All right.
This is the coup de grace. 2005, drove a car into 3 teens after a pickup game. What the fuck is he playing a pickup game with 3 teenagers, gets that frustrated, drives his car out on the field, and tries to hit these teenagers? Tried to freaking hit him with his car. Found guilty. Should be.
I mean, if we had that temperament, we would have hit 6 homeless on the way here.
Of assault with a deadly weapon. Now he's serving a sentence of 31 years, and he has to serve at least 26 because in the great state of California, 85% of the sentence needs to be served if it causes harm to someone else, and I agree with that. He's going to be out when he's 57 unless he does something in the playground. What the fuck is this guy doing playing against teenagers? You know what I mean? This guy, what does he have to prove when he's playing against teenagers? Honorable mention, make it real quick, Travis Henry, Bills, Titans, Broncos, Pro Bowl in 2002. In high school, the guy ran for 4,000 yards in high school. It's amazing. In one year, 4,000.
There was a point where he's supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah, he was. 42 touchdowns, 4,000 yards in 14 games. School record, 3,000 yards at Tennessee. Got out, made the Pro Bowl in 2002. Here's his deal. Busted for dealing coke in 2008, 2009, 3 years coke trafficking. But the NFL reinstated him in 2012. Nobody's going to touch him.
Well, again, he was a home run hitter. You put the ball in his hand, he could hit that home run.
Fathered at least 11 kids with 10 different women.
Ooh, that's not a Trojan sponsor right there.
11 kids.
How do you get a Trojan if you want to sponsor us?
With 10 different women. Good luck to you, Travis. And Jamal Lewis going to be thrown in there, too, even though he got fucked. I don't know if you know the story.
Oh, yeah. Again, like, you mentioned Jamal Lewis to me before, and right when he said his name, I was like, I don't know a lot of...
He got fucked.
Again, but we're talking about the all-shame team, so where is he shameful? Again, he might have got fucked someplace along the line, but where did he do something that was...
Well, quite frankly, Lurk, I will tell you.
I appreciate that, Coach.
He was convicted of selling coke to a childhood friend and a woman. A woman... got his childhood friend to sell him coke, but the woman was an undercover cop. But he never sold him the coke. It was conspiracy. Is there no such thing as entrapment? Is entrapment a myth?
So did you get this from TMZ?
Is entrapment a myth?
No. Did you get this from TMZ is what I'm asking.
Standard internet research.
I'm sorry to ask you a question with a question. I take that as a personal peeve.
Standard internet research. Right. He was convicted of selling coke to this woman who was an undercover cop who made buddies with his buddy. And his buddy was like, hey, yo, Jamal, hook me up with a little bit of coke. And Jamal was like, okay, meet me at this restaurant. And the next thing you know, the fucking guy's in jail. Come on, man. Is that not entrapment? What is entrapment? What is entrapment?
I don't know. I'm not a cop, but I mean, if I've watched the movie Entrapment with Michael Douglas's wife, that Zeta Jones or whatever her name was, and Sean Connery.
Jamal Lewis, one of the best players of all time that I've ever seen.
I got a question for you, though.
If you put Jamal Lewis and Michael Vick in the same backfield, good luck. Nobody can freaking tackle him. Go.
And I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. All right. So since we're basically talking about the Hall of Shame team.
Hall of Shame.
The Hall of Shame, and we're talking about running back. I always like to think about, like, when I think about athletes, I think about dedicated athletes, and I think about athletes that think about things other than themselves. And one of the athletes in my mind, especially in the running back category, that has stood out by being, selfish is not the right word, but when you talk about fantasy football, you're talking about stats, so you're talking about those things. And Maurice Jones-Drew has been one of the biggest advocates of fantasy football and talking about how he wants his fantasy numbers to be significant and be an impact. I go, in my mind, when you're talking about the NFL, when you're talking about the Hall, if you're worried about your numbers, that is shameful, especially when you're talking about a team sport that involves at least 11 players on your side of the ball. I mean, when we talk about high school, I mean, some kids play both sides of the ball, so we're talking about 22 players. But now this is one player that is worried about his numbers on one side of the ball, and I am thinking that's shameful. That, like I said, for honestly 3 years, I've heard Maurice Jones-Drew be very proactive against his numbers and how they relate to fantasy numbers.
Well, first of all, I don't want to talk fantasy. I have enough trouble with reality.
Shamefulness. I have enough trouble. Is where I'm going with.
I have enough trouble with reality. But that's capitalism. I mean, you got to do the best you can, and it's all about you. If the guy's gonna produce, he's gonna get paid. And if he produces, they win. I don't want to talk about Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't want to talk about fantasy football.
We're talking about shamefulness. About those guys. I think that's shameful.
I don't think that's shameful. You got to get yours.
Again, you got 5, 6, maybe offensive linemen. You gotta that work for you.
You got to get yours for them to get theirs.
Were you a running back in the day?
Let's continue. No. Well, as a fullback tight end.
Oh!
Never touched the ball.
We might have figured that out.
Never touched the ball. Let's go. Wide receiver. This is my favorite one in the whole list.
How many wide receivers are we going to have on the team?
Right. You could do about 15.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do 3.
I think wide receivers.
Here's my favorite. Lance Rensel. You heard of him?
No, be honest with you, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I am very...
Exactly.
This is a new one.
And I brought this up to my uncles and other people, and they were like, yeah, Lance Rensel was great. You know, he's one of those guys that just got lost in NFL lore. Oklahoma was a halfback when they called it halfback. Nobody calls it halfback anymore. And the punter, and he was a stud. Drafted by Minnesota, but he traded to Dallas and became a wide receiver. Ended up leading the team receptions and yards. Was the man. But in 1970... In 1970, he got in trouble for exposing himself to a 10-year-old girl. Exposing himself to a 10-year-old girl. When it came out later in 1966, he exposed himself to two young girls. However, he didn't get put in jail. He got sentenced to psychiatric care. And in 1970, he missed the last three games. Nothing. All he got was psychiatric care and probation. Traded to the Rams out here in the great city of Los Angeles. And in 1973, he was convicted of marijuana possession.
Well, I think part of that research goes down to your diligence about looking for who is actually going to be shameful in this category.
He was married.
Coach, if you give me 1 minute here, I would love to give you a compliment on this because, when I was thinking about a lot of these things, I was thinking about felons, but everything you're mentioning about this dude, and I'm sure you're going to have a whole buttload of other dirt digging issues, but that's shameful. Already.
Shameful?
What are you talking
shameful?
About?
Shameful?
The sad part about this is a lot of these things have been issues that have just basically been coming to light. Like, quit taking photographs of my kids, quit watching my kids. But back then, it just wasn't that big a deal. But hats off to you for, like I said, right now, this sounds like a complete shameful dirtbag.
Of course he was. Here's the deal. He was married to a woman named Joey Heatherton, who was like the diva of the day. She was the sex symbol of the day. She was back on the variety shows with like Bob Hope and Jackie Gleason and Love American Style, where like, you know, those girls, there was no internet, obviously. And like, they would just show up on these variety shows, and she was this talented, very good looking woman. She was married to him. She divorced him immediately. He was out of the league by 1973. Still alive in the Dallas area. And here's an interesting tidbit. Evidently, Lance Armstrong was named after him.
Lance. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But imagine that happening today, how things are so much different. The guy was caught exposing himself to a 10-year-old girl in a playground. He would be freaking crucified. All right, let's keep going. Wide receiver Ray Caruth. You know that story.
That was in my high school days, and honestly, that one still burns me because, like, I grew up around a lot of people that did not do things wrong. And when I heard, or actually not heard, but back in that day, read in the newspaper about what Ray Caruth did, it shocked me because that's when I was in high school football. And I couldn't believe, because like when I played high school football, again, we're taught to be wholesome, you know, genuine, like wow, good-hearted athletes. And to hear a professional athlete would do something that horrible was
just devastating. Let me explain what he did first.
Go at it.
First team All-American in Colorado, first round draft choice. Had his baby mama shot 5 times by a hitman. She lived for a minute. She lived for a minute enough to identify him as he pulled in front of her, stopped, and a hitman came across the side and shot her. But the child lived, and the poor kid has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair while the old man is in jail. He tried to flee he posted bail and fled, found him in a trunk outside of a motel with piss bottles and a gun.
Ooh.
The defense team tried to say it was a drug deal gone bad, that the mama was a drug user and didn't have any money to pay the drug dealer back. And he was found conspiracy to commit murder, 18, 24 years in prison, still serving prison time. Two more receivers and one honorable mention. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, seen crying last night. Tears talking about,
talk about Hall of Fame.
It's a you thing. It's a you thing. You don't understand.
No. It's a Miami thing.
It's a you thing.
U of M.
No. It's a you thing. No, come on. You're missing. It's a you thing.
I guess if you ever talk about Minnesota, I'm sorry.
Minnesota's the U? Jesus. 3-time Super Bowl champ. Five-time Pro Bowler. Hall of Famer in 2007. 1996, coke possession. Potty for his 30th birthday, showed up at the mink coat on, 4 years probation. Two favorites. 1998, he was waiting in line for a haircut in the locker room. There's a guy named Everett McIver who was waiting for a haircut, or was doing his haircut. Michael told him to hurry up. Everett McIver said, go shit in a hat. Michael decided to stab him in the neck with a pair of barber scissors.
What?
Stabbed him in the neck with a pair of barber scissors. Jerry Jones buried it. Paid him off.
How do we know that? What?
It's Boys Will Be Boys by Jeff Perlman. There's a book, Boys Will Be Boys, by Jeff Perlman. There's multiple witnesses.
Interesting.
But they paid Everett McIver, like Jerry Jones paid him off. Isn't it amazing? Michael
I don't find it surprising, but I find it amazing.
Michael Irvin also had a hit on his head by a former Dallas cop who was protecting his wife. Michael Irvin was having an affair with, put a hit on Michael Irvin's head, unsuccessful. And here's the second best.
The viewing of the Hall of Fame yesterday.
Here's the second best one. They're playing in a charity basketball game in 1991. Michael Irvin decided to punch the referee in the face. Kid, what the fuck? You're freaking playing a charity game and you punch the freaking referee in the face.
Hey, he's passionate.
Yeah, passionate. Playmaker with the same intensity. Remember that? He got freaking
passion.
Passionate.
I love how passion just, it's a word like organic. It just gets used and abused.
Yeah, right. Well, and they love in the NFL. You know, everybody's just passionate. Yeah. You know, how about a fucking criminal?
Warrants that passionate.
Yeah, thug, criminal, degenerate, not freaking paying his freaking child support. But they don't talk about that shit, you know. Look, the guy's talented. Whatever. Marvin Harrison.
Gifted, not talented, gifted.
Marvin Harrison.
See, this one I struggle with.
Bullshit.
Prove me wrong. All right.
Guy walked
sell
in.
Me.
Guy
sell
walked,
me on this one. Sell me on this one. You need to sell me because I'm not sold on Marvin Harrison.
Guy walked into his bar that he owned in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Wouldn't let him in.
Okay.
Guy caused a ruckus.
Okay.
They got into a fight. They beat the guy up. The guy ended up talking shit when he got beat up. Marvin Harrison jumped out of the car and fucking fired at him with two handguns.
All right, Coach. You talked about downtown L.A. And let's say you own a bar in downtown L.A. And let's say that happened in your bar in downtown L.A. What are you going to do?
I'm not going to fire two freaking guns at him.
First of all, you're going to have a gun at the bar.
If I had over $50 million in career earnings, I would not have a bar in downtown L.A.
Touché.
Or downtown Boston, whatever. And I would have someone else do that. I wouldn't bust out gats, kid. I'm freaking, he had too much to lose. What the fuck? But he's still walking around and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame next year. I think it's next year, the year after.
He's not going to get in before Tim Brown. No. Marvin Harrison's not going to get in before Tim Brown or Andre Reed. If that happens, I think I might be done.
3 months.
I might be done.
3 months later, the guy that they shot at was killed. 3 months later. No credible witnesses.
Sounds like a lot of Aaron Hernandez stories.
But Marvin Harrison.
History repeats itself, as they say.
Marvin Harrison's walking around. I don't want to do Chris Henry, but I'm going to, you know, I don't want to give him props for being a Hall of Famer or Hall of Shamer, but let's just talk about Riley Cooper for a second.
Oh,
what the fuck?
I think he's going to rod, or not a rod deal.
What? What is wrong with you?
Screwed. I took his apology as genuine.
Why would you? He's a fucking retard. First of all, anybody wears a fucking cutoff flannel, anybody who wears a cutoff flannel and goes to a Kenny Chesney concert. We've had this discussion.
So you're criticizing him over country music. That's exactly where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Just because he was at a Kenny Chesney concert.
No. Not because he's at a Kenny Chesney concert, because you're saying, I'm going to jump over that fence and fight every nigger in here. You fucking retard, kid. What the fuck? Dude, how does he even fucking... You would think if he did say that, he would immediately be like, oh, shit. What the fuck did I just say? His freaking whole locker room is full of black dudes. He should never be signed again. A, he's not that good. B, he's wearing that fucking cutoff flannel. C, he's in a fucking Kenny Chesney concert. And he's freaking ridiculous. I don't understand how any team would ever fucking sign him. The Eagles should immediately release that fucking ass clown, because they can get anybody who's better than him. There's fucking tons of talented receivers out there. It's amazing. It's amazing. Fucking guy was still... He's going to be gone, though. Nice cutoff flannel. Paula Deen loses her whole career for saying that same word 30 years ago, and this fucking clown from Florida is like, I will fight every nigger in here. Get out of here. Anybody doesn't even deserve to be in the same breath as these Hall of Shamers.
Well, the way I took his statement when I saw it online, and again, this is all I'm seeing online, is he took it as a... because he was getting offended. He was getting harassed or whatever.
What?
And again, this is the way I'm seeing it. This is the way you saw it one way. I saw it a completely...
the poor bastard.
Let me explain how I saw it. So I saw him, as like I said, just kind of getting harassed in some way, and he just yelled a spout out. And again, Jason Whitlock on Fox Sports Radio, he is one of my favorite sports writers, and he did a specific article about the use of the N-word, and he says, if we're going to be so critical of the N-word, everyone should stop using it. And again, I lived in so far in Southern California in my time here, I've lived with black people for 7 years of my life, and the people that I lived with that were African American or black or whatever you want to consider them, they use that word all the time.
Okay.
Did I use that in front of them? No, because I was scared to, but again, should I be? No. I don't think I should have been, but again, I was. I think Riley Cooper, he apologized. I think we should move on.
Here's the deal. Anyways. Here's the deal. If you and I are sitting around drinking beers and I call you a faggot, it's cool. Ooh, you're a faggot.
Or you're gonna faggot. Push in the face.
You're a faggot.
Anyways, but
whatever. If we're hanging out, like, all right, easy fag. You'd be like, ooh. But if I went out and called a stranger a faggot, he would punch me in the face.
And then we'd hear about it on the radio the next morning. Or the newspaper, or some...
You wouldn't hear about it, because who knows who I am. But I'm saying...
Well, no, but you'd hear about some like racial disrespect in downtown L.A. Da-da-da-da-da.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point.
No, I'm hitting the...
You could say it amongst your friends. You can call your friends faggots. You can call your friends pussies. But if you go out and call someone you don't know a faggot or a pussy, they'll punch you in the face.
But why
the blacks can call someone a nigga if they want to, whatever. That's that's their thing. But if someone says, "I'm going to jump the fence and fight for nigger in here," world of difference, kid. World of difference. Fuck okay, that guy. Get him out of fucking. I wouldn't sign him. He ain't that good. First of all, he ain't that fucking good.
He's in the NFL. He's not horrible.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on. He's in the NFL. He's not bad.
Look, everything's relative. Everything's relative. He's, of course, not bad. He's not tripping over his own shoelace.
He's not in the AFL. We're not talking about an Arena Football League player here.
Well,
we're not talking about a Canadian football player.
Well, if you really want to talk about that stuff, a lot of that...
Well, no, I don't. But...
A lot of that is agents. A lot of that's timing. A lot of that's the right people.
Touche.
A lot of that's getting in the right time and place. And there are people with just as much talent as Riley Cooper that aren't going to be... Dude, why would you bring a fucking... With your locker room that's 80% black, why would you bring someone in like that? Look, the racism exists. Okay? The racism will always exist because, bottom line, people like people that are like themselves. But... Fuck that guy, man. Fuck him. He ain't worth it. They can find someone better than him.
I'm not really supporting him, but I think he's gotten enough crap than he...
Bullshit. He should be thrown out of the league. Tight end position, obviously.
I disagree.
The captain, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we going to really talk about this?
What do you mean to talk about him? We need to talk about his backup.
Who does it really...
Because everyone knows about Aaron Hernandez already.
All right, you want to talk about his backup?
I want to talk about Aaron Hernandez as a backup.
Chewie! Mark Chamora.
What?
Mark Chamora. You don't know that story?
Oh, I know Mark Chamora as Brett Favre's butt buddy.
Yeah.
But
you don't know that story?
I don't know. I remember, like, because he was in high school. Like, when I was in high school, I didn't follow this. So
okay.
Please tell me.
He went to an after prom party.
Oh,
you remember that one?
Right.
Yeah, now you remember.
It's coming back.
He went to an after prom party.
It's coming back now.
And played drinking games and sat in a hot tub with a bunch of girls and supposedly pulled one of the girls who was a babysitter.
Because this is when I was in high school. I could not wait to go to college.
Babysitter is his. What is wrong with you? And he groped this girl, put her on his lap. But here's the kicker. He refused to go to the White House to see Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton was of low moral standards. But this fucking 31-year-old shows up at a post-prom party. Shit, I don't have nothing. And I wouldn't show up to a post-prom party when I'm 22. You know what I mean? And this fucking clown shows up at a post-prom party, touches this poor little girl. I'm going three tight end set. Jeremy Stevens, 2000, sexually assaulted a woman at University of Washington, settled out of court. 2001, hit and run after crashing into a retirement home. 2003, another DUI. 2007, extreme DUI. another 2007, the condo complex complained that he was vomiting and used condoms in the walkway. Married to Hope Solo.
At least he used the condoms.
Married to Hope Solo.
Offensive at least he's not on the, like I said, with the use of those condoms, at least he's not on the all, what were we talking about before, the illegitimate child team.
I'm sure he has.
As there also could be an NFL team of
I'm
that.
I'm sure he says. Let's get through the O-line, which is actually the most difficult one to get through. But Center. Great Barrett Robbins. Raiders Pro Bowl of 2002. I know that hits home.
It does.
I think this is really interesting. He disappeared from the team a day before the Super Bowl.
I think there's a lot behind the story of that. But anyways, I think you got, again, you've dug in. So I'm curious what you got to pick up on this one. So go ahead.
thanks, Lurk. He didn't take his depression meds, bipolar. It was in San Diego. He took the day off and went to Tijuana because he thought they already won. He thought the team already won. He went down to Tijuana, partied by himself, wife and kids at home, didn't pick the wife and kids up at the airport, went down to Tijuana and believed they won.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
He came back. His wife caught him in the hotel room, flipping through channels, watching music channels. She's like, hey, what's up? He's like, oh, no, I just went down to Tijuana because we partied because we won. I came back. Also involved in the Balco scandal. 2003, Christmas Eve. Tried to get into a bar in San Francisco. They said they were closed. He ended up punching out a security guard. 2005, he ended up going down to Miami. He's a world traveler, evidently.
That's why I don't believe it. I don't believe his original story. I just don't.
Got into a fight in Miami with the police. The undercover cop came and confronted him. They ended up trying to wrestle him down. He's got a guy 6'3", 320 pounds. They shot him 3 times. He tried to grab the gun.
He's a big dude.
He tried to grab the gun from one of them, evidently. And they shot him 3 times. Lived. 2010. Pulled over. Found with crack cocaine in Dallas. Spent 3 years in jail. Got released in September. September of last year. He's released. Nate Newton. Real quick, 6-time Pro Bowl, 3-time Super Bowl champion, all USFL team, calling the kitchen because he was bigger than the fridge. Found with on a routine traffic stop, found with 213 pounds of marijuana. 213 pounds.
I was going to say, like, can you repeat that one more time? Because that sounds like a lot of marijuana.
5 weeks later.
Because they sell that by like the eighth of an ounce.
Five weeks later. Found with 175 pounds after a routine traffic stop.
You know, they sell that by the nth of an ounce.
The arrogance.
There's 16 ounces in a pound.
The arrogance. You know what I mean? 5 weeks later, kid. Come on. 213 pounds, 5 weeks later, 175 pounds. I haven't even fucking seen a pound of marijuana. I don't know what that would be.
I don't think it's just a pound of regular grass, like to where you could grab, like, pull grass out of the ground and pull a pot.
Got his stomach stapled. Lost 175 pounds, down to 220 pounds. Living life, religious man.
Reggie White?
Defense is next week.
No. Well, who did we talk about before that Chris Carter had the Reggie White epiphany?
Moments of clarity.
And so I was like wondering if there's another Reggie White epiphany that took place.
Mother God, guy named Chris.
Coach, I think we got a lot of interesting people here, but we only got 6 minutes left.
And I have three players left. Maybe four.
Again, we gotta get some backups on these offensive lines. Five people. Yeah. You don't think so?
It's one team. Oh.
All right. Go for it.
I'd love to. Hey, Lurk. In an ideal world, I would love to have fucking six deep. Chris Terry, 2010. Dealing in possession of cocaine. Suspended in 2008 for his second drug violation. 2002, slammed his wife's head off a wall. Stuffed her face in the pillow while the two kids watched. Justin Strzelec, Pittsburgh, led police in a high-speed chase. Gave gas attendants money and a cross and talked about God. Two kids hit and run at high speed. Started throwing shit at cops. Went in the wrong direction. Hit a gas tanker. Blew up. Died. No drugs. No alcohol. Fine in the system. Victor Riley, first-round pick from Auburn. Kansas City Chiefs. 2001, rammed his vehicle 7 times into a car with his wife and his infant kid. Ew. Ran off. And last but not least, on the offensive side of the ball, we got to give props to the kick returner. That would be David Meggett. You know the story?
Dave Meggett? I know a little bit. Again, David Meggett was at the beginning of my NFL watching career.
1990. So I know a little bit. 1990. Solicited an undercover cop for sex in Baltimore. 1995, assaulted a girlfriend. 1998, assaulted an escort in Toronto after a three-way. 2006, second-degree rape of a girlfriend, 2 years probation, even after all that shit he did. 2008, third-degree sexual conduct, 17-year-old girl accused him of rape. 2009.
Ooh, that's not funny.
No, none of this is funny. Well, it is kind of.
Well, some of it's self-induced, but some of it's not.
It's all self-induced.
It's all self-induced, but some, like when you hear about the 17-year-olds and the kids, they're not making the right choices. That's not funny. But anyway, I'm sorry.
No, it's not their choices. It's his choice. 2009. Well, 2009. Choice, college girl sitting on her bed. Woke up. He was sitting on her bed. Said he was a man named Mike. And he demanded she pay him back $200 that he spent on her at the bar. And then he raped her. She drove to the hospital. He drove to the hospital to meet her there. In which case he was arrested and sentenced to 30 years in jail. Dave Meggett. Borderline. Well, I wouldn't say
He's a patriot.
Patriot?
Man.
Giant?
Talk about American tutelage. Or not tutelage, but icon right there.
Patriot, giant, Super Bowl champion, tremendous player in the NFL.
And what was Chris Berman, he always had something for Dave Meggett, too. I remember like watching SportsCenter back in the day. Do you remember what that was?
Whatever. Chris fucking Berman's a retard, too.
I agree with that as well.
Did you see that shit?
It could be the all of shame commentator.
Yeah, right. He's the old dildo freaking calling it. Seriously, we get set up with these fucking ass clowns that all these guys, they just ramble about
shit. You know. I mean, they don't know what they're talking about, and they just make nonsense out of something that's special. And that's the part that I really dislike. I dislike about Chris Berman was, like, there would be something special that's happened on the field, and he'll make it funny. He'll make it, and it's like, no, that's special. That's not funny. That's special.
They were booing him. He was doing a commencement speech at a high school this past summer, and they were booing him because he was just rambling, evidently. They said they thought he was drunk, which is very possible. You know?
I've heard a lot of with other
all those
news.
Guys,
especially,
man.
Fox Broadcasting. They make a lot of news reports about Chris Berman and his time in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of stories about his, because he has a summer, well, basically when he's not at ESPN, he's in Hawaii. And I guess over in Hawaii, he's pretty much a rambling drunk. And that's what a lot of reports I get from him.
All those retards are, man. The whole fucking game is stupid. They talk about these people that we just talk.
They go boom, boom, boom at the right times, and they make millions of dollars.
They talk about these people with reverence, and they give these people second chances after a week. How about fucking Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan's a freaking ass clown, too. You know, putting a shit on.
We're gonna win the Super Bowl.
Putting that shit on the internet about his wife's feet, and people are like, "Oh, that's his wife." Well, you know what? Don't put the shit on the internet, kid.
Give her toenails. Just don't show it on the internet.
Don't put it on the internet. You know, Rex Ryan, even fucking Billy Belichick, which we'll get into. And look, I'm the biggest Patriot fan going, but I think Bill's freaking.
I'm the biggest Raiders fan. We got coast to coast right here.
Hey, I have more respect for Al Davis than I do for Billy Belichick. I tell you that.
I am shocked to hear that right now, to be honest with you. But
no, at least freaking Al Davis is at least Al Davis is a self-made man. Billy Belichick,
he's a self-proclaimed man too. He stated exactly what he thought.
Self-made man too, and Bill Belichick's dad freaking got him in the business, and they talk about, ooh, Bill Belichick lived for no money. He made $5,000. I lived in a fucking kitchen floor at friggin' Holy Cross. I did. I live in a freaking kitchen floor. And they talk about Bill Belichick.
I've driven you home.
making the ultimate sacrifice that he was freaking, whatever. It's all fucking joke. Hey, that's it. I'm the coach.
This is
Lurk. We'll be back next week talking about the defensive team. Don't believe the hype. It's all fucking scam. Go Patriots. Let's do this.
Raiders.
Later.